Well, hey, we are in the book of John. We're doing a series on the book of John. Anybody been encouraged, built up by getting in the Gospel of John? Can I just see your hands? We still have the bookmarks that kind of help lead you through time with Jesus, how to get into the Word of God, how to have a listening, leaning ear into the heartbeat of God. What's the Spirit of God saying to you through His Word? And those bookmarks are available at the Connect tent. We want to do everything we can to equip and resource everybody that's a part of this little church to be passionate about Jesus and passionate about owning our own walk with Him. So this week's a little bit unique because on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, that's starting tomorrow. You guys get ready. This is really exciting. I know the fall festival coming up when we, you know, have barbecues exciting, but this is really exciting. We are doing a corporate 3-day fast, prayer and fasting, to ask God to turn our nation back to the Lord. Turn our nation back to God. And honestly, the church is the last remaining voice of clarity and truth for our nation. It's always been that way. When the darkness gets darker, it's time for the church to rise up. It's time to shake off passivity. It's time to say, Jesus, you've called us to be the hands and the feet and the mouth of Jesus Christ. And so God, come and anoint us. And it begins with us. It begins with the people of God. It really does. And so before you kind of get freaked out, like, that's too much. All we're asking is that you participate in however the Lord tells you. If you have never fasted before, and we're going to kind of go into that a little bit today, what is it and why it's powerful, why it has the power to turn a nation back to the Lord. If you've never fasted before, actually, you know, there's a reason why the first meal you eat is called breakfast. Break fast. So every night you're fasting at least 6 to 8 hours a day. So you fasted, just not during the day. So if you've never fasted before, here's what we would ask you to consider. Consider taking one meal a day. Maybe it's breakfast. Maybe it's your lunch hour. You say, I'm going to skip lunch, and I'm going to go, and I'm just going to get time with the Lord. And I'm going to consecrate myself to Him, my family to Him, this place where I work to Him, this nation to Him. Because you have authority as priests when we come before the Lord through prayer and fasting. It moves the heart of God. It releases the grace of God. It positions our heart before the Lord for His mercy and His grace that is available to be released. And it's powerful. And so we've announced it last week. If you are on text updates, you've been getting information, or even through our social media, we've tried to tell everybody about it. But I would really encourage you, ask the Lord how you are to participate in this 3-day fast. And it's going to end with a prayer rally Wednesday night at the church offices on East Chatham Street. You can get the address online. But 7 o'clock sharp, we're going to start. 8:30, we're going to end. So it'll be an hour and a half. It'll be worship, but it'll primarily be intercession together, intercession in groups, calling out to God, first on behalf of the church, to say, God, come and purify your bride. But then, God, on behalf of this nation, we are standing before you as priests, and this world that's in darkness, and you've commissioned us, you've given us your authority, you've given us the message of the gospel. This gospel that will be proclaimed in all the earth and then the end shall come has been given to us. We get to proclaim it. And when we come before the Lord in prayer and fasting, it breaks down demonic strongholds that have been over nations for centuries. It breaks down demonic thinking over families that have caused generational curses. Anybody excited about actually getting free in Jesus more and more and more, going from glory to glory to glory, actually setting up a spiritual legacy for your children? prayer and fasting is one of those keys. Several of them. Holy living, just living a life of gratitude. There's so many. There's kingdom principles. When you choose to walk in thankfulness, it attracts the Spirit of God. When you choose to grumble and complain, you can be saved, have the Holy Spirit in you, but there's no fellowship. In fact, you're attracting the wrong spirit, and you're wondering why your life's falling apart. And actually, when we fast, it exposes our heart. God somehow, through that weakness of saying, I'm going to set aside this natural appetite that God created, but I'm not going to let it rule over me. I'm not going to allow these natural carnal drives and appetites to rule over me, but they will be subservient so that I can have an appetite for the things of God. And it's powerful when we set aside a time to say, God, I'm asking you to stir a fresh hunger in my heart. We've often prayed that prayer, but fasting has the grace in God when you set aside that natural appetite, and every time your stomach just begins to churn, that hunger pain comes, you just call out to heaven wherever you are and let him be your satisfaction. Let him be the one who gives you life. Let him be the one who sets you free. Because those who the Lord sets free, they're free indeed. We've got a gift for everybody here. You may have discovered it already. I hope they've been passed out. Look under your seat and see if you see a little silver armband. And it says 2C7 on it. Do we have them? Yes, no. Can I have one? Can somebody throw me one? I ordered these, and I didn't even get to see them yet because I just got on an airplane. This morning. Light! Let there be light! Thank you, Sam. I feel like I can be seen. You're messing with me now. Hey, that's all right. Second, 2C7. There wasn't enough room to print out the whole thing. So that's not just kind of a cool little way to shorten it. But this is 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. It's our key verse we're looking at today. And if you haven't noticed already, we are in the book of John, but today we're taking kind of a little aside to it. If you want to link it to the book of John, look at John the Baptist, who introduces Jesus. John the Baptist, who lived a fasted lifestyle, who understood the power of fasting to turn a people, to turn a generation. He understood that the call of God on his life was to prepare the way of the coming of the Lord, to make ready the hearts of the people, to remove stones, to remove pride, to remove insecurity, which is pride inverted, and to let the high places be made low, let the low place, that the rough ground be made smooth, so that there would be a highway for the coming of our King of Glory. And he did it through fasting, a fasted lifestyle. Jesus, in the book, we see the introduction of Jesus, lived faithfully. The Lord says it's time. We talked about the very first manifestation of his miracle, turning water into wine. And at the beginning of his ministry, Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. It's a long time. I mean, 40 days and 40 nights. It's a long time going without food. And it says, and then he became hungry. But it says that he came out of that season in the power of the Holy Spirit. And it was then that it wasn't just God in the flesh. It was God in the flesh as a man anointed by God, the Holy Spirit, who came upon him to do the works of the Father. Through fasting, he was released into transforming the world as a man anointed by God. It was initiated with 40 days of prayer and fasting. All right, so put these on your little armbands, and I want this to be a reminder of this scripture that we're about to look at, 2 Chronicles 7, 14, because in it there is a promise to us, an amazing promise. You've probably heard it often quoted, but I want to look at it together. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14 says this, and on your armband you've got the key verbs for you to remember, that if you do a few things, then God will do these. If you do this, then God says, I will do this. Yes, he is sovereign, but he's a God of relationship. And he says, if you will heed my word, if you will listen to me, if you will come to me, if you will do these things, then I will do these things. And so that's what the reminder is, wherever you go, to pray for our nation, to live, to say, God, first of all, I consecrate myself, but I'm asking not only for me, but for the church in America, to live set apart, holy unto you. And God, I'm asking, God, on behalf of our nation. Okay, so let's read it. This is 2 Chronicles 7:14. It says, if my people who were called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Okay, there's the if. There's four things there. And you've got the notes on your arm already. Here, or no, that's the wrong side. Humble, pray, seek, and turn. Humble, pray, seek, and turn. If you do this, if you humble yourself, every time an arrogant, prideful thought comes up, every time something comes out of your mouth that's just out of insecurity, which is really a form of not knowing who you are and pride, there's a place to not be sad about it, but to say, God, I repent. I am a son. My confidence is in you. My confidence is not in what other people think about me. So a humbling of ourselves. The second command there is to pray. If my people who were called by my name will humble themselves, God is drawn to the lowly, and pray. Just talk to God. Talk to him. Share what's on your heart. Thirdly, seek my face. All right, so we got humble, we got pray, we got seek. Seek the face of the Lord. That term, seek my face, is not kind of a passive leaning back and, oh, come Lord, you know, and then you kind of go on your day. It is an active expectancy on the edge of your seat, knowing with faith that God wants to move on your behalf and on behalf of the people in your life. If you seek his face, he's withholding nothing, but he loves relationship, and so we draw near to him and we pray back to him what he already wants to do, and then he does it and says, good job. All right, so seek his face, and then we turn from our wicked ways. There is a turning from sin to righteousness. Matthew 6:33, Jesus said, seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, my kingdom, the kingdom of God that is eternal. Anything that is outside of the kingdom of God will perish. It is wasted. If God speaks to you and says, I'm calling you to be a businessman in this city, then that is eternal, that's kingdom. But if you do it out of some false motive, it's going to perish. See, it doesn't matter vocation, location. What matters is a yielded heart and a willingness to say, God, I trust you enough to live not with a clenched fist, letting you only into certain areas of my life. Well, I don't want to be sent there. Or God, I want this relationship in my life. I want it. And I'm afraid you're going to take it away from me. That's just false concepts of God. That's out of a place of not knowing the goodness of God. But there's a yieldedness and a turning to the Lord, where we are set apart. And he's already called us set apart. He calls us holy. He calls us, you are my special possession. You are the pearl of great price. He's our pearl of great price. He is our great treasure, and we're his. Okay, so if we do these things, humble, pray, seek, and turn, then here's the promise. And it's really good. The Lord says this, then I will hear from heaven, and I will forgive your sin, and I will heal your land. I will hear you, I'll forgive you, and I will heal your land. It will go beyond just you. It will be on behalf of your nation. And as the church, there's hundreds of these in Scripture, these promises that are invitations. So you're saved free into the kingdom by the blood of Jesus. You come as a child, forgive me my sin. Jesus, I give you my life. Boom, you're saved. We saw three people saved, a team of us. We just flew in this morning from Orlando. We were at a conference worshiping Jesus for 3 days on our faces. It was awesome. Am I glowing? I feel like I'm glowing. And at the place there, we got to see three people who worked there give their lives to Jesus. It was awesome. It was amazing. God loves to use us to make his glory known, made known, to see people transferred from darkness to light. And again, all of us, the scripture says, do the work of an evangelist. Well, I'm an introvert. Do the work of an evangelist. Well, I'm not called to that, or I'm not bold. Well, ask for boldness. You have not because you ask not. Actually, the key is love. Doesn't have to look a certain way. You don't have to jump up and scream. But if you just love, even if it's in gentle and quiet ways, you love and you bring Jesus, it's going to destroy hell. And it will establish the kingdom of God. And you will be a mighty woman set free from your own fear to say, I'm free to love Jesus and free to love those around me. You'll be a man who is no longer just kind of trying to survive and struggle through this life, but set free to simply be loved, love back this amazing God that we serve, and out of that place, love those around us. So we've got this promise. We've got this invitation from the Lord out of 2 Chronicles. And I want to talk about some of the purposes of fasting and then look at some of the examples. I'm going to move this back here. It just feels weird that it's to the left. Sorry, it's for my sake. Can you all see me? Good? Okay. All right. So a couple of things that we fast and seek the Lord. Number one, it's for consecration. It's for personal consecration to the Lord. We consecrate ourselves and we say, Lord, if there's anything in me that's not of you, if there's any thought, if there's any lie that's in my mind, Lord, would you remove it? If there's any place of sin, if there's any place of arrogance or independence or pride or just whatever it is, search me, God. We don't have to go searching for it. We look to the Lord and we say, Lord, you search me. And when he brings it up with his gentle, loving voice, we just say, Lord, by the cross, by the blood of Jesus, I'm free. Forgive me for that. I thank you that there's power to walk in freedom. So we fast for consecration to the Lord. You remember Anna, when Jesus was born, he was brought to the temple. And here's this prophetess Anna, for decades, probably 60 years, fasting and praying unto the Lord out of personal consecration and worship. What a woman. She will be remembered forever. Never planted a church, never a recorded miracle, never preached one sermon. Widowed at a young age, and she said, I will pour out my life as a sacrifice to the living God. And it was just a lifestyle of prayers and fasting. And she got to hold Emmanuel, God, in the flesh. It moved the heart of God. There's a place of just personal consecration, of fasting for personal consecration. Secondly, fasting for personal breakthrough and freedom. I remember as an 18-year-old for the very first time fasting. And we were a part of a church, praise God, with a college group that, like you guys, just had a hunger for Jesus. It was just normal to seek God. It was normal to confess your sins to one another. It was not normal to have hidden sin. It was normal to confess sin. It was normal to seek God, not because I have to and I check it off and I did my religious duty, but because Jesus is so amazing. Why else would I, where else can I go? He alone satisfies. And in those days, I remember reading about fasting, and Jesus said, he said himself, not if you fast, but when you fast. And I said, okay, Jesus, it's part of it. Read the Sermon on the Mount. It was just part of following Jesus. Matthew 28, all authority from the Father has been given to the Son. And now we've been sent out as witnesses to proclaim this gospel, teaching them to obey all the commands of Jesus. And Jesus said it was normal to be extravagant givers. He said it was normal to walk in holiness. He said it was normal to walk in love and to forgive and not keep offense in your heart. He said it was normal to fast. And in the Old Testament, there was one mandatory fast. It was on the Day of Atonement, which, by the way, was yesterday celebrated. It was that one day in the year where the high priest would enter in to not the outer court and not the holy place, but the Holy of Holies, where the ark itself and the very presence, the very Shekinah glory of God dwelt. And the high priest would go in with blood, but blood of animals that were only a foreshadow of the blood of Jesus. That high priest left that room still aware of his own guilt and his own shame. But it was a washing on the outside, but it didn't cleanse the conscience on the inside. So they lived trying to serve God, feeling condemned their whole time, their whole life. It said Moses was given the ministry of condemnation, but it points, the law points to Jesus, because it says that all have been shut up under sin. We've all been proven we can't do it. We can't keep 613 laws, 10 commandments. You might be able to for a little while, but you break one, you break them all. We're all guilty. But praise God, Jesus stepped in. He took our place on that cross, and he said, I'll take the punishment, put the nails in my hands, put the shame on me. He was, for the first time in eternity, separated from his Father. Father. In anguish, being crushed with the weight of God's hatred toward injustice and wickedness and everything vile in our lives. Not their lives, in our lives. And Jesus, once and for all, dealt with it. And that temple between the holy place and the Holy of Holies and the people of God, where they could not go in, that was ripped from top to bottom. And he made a way. He made a way for us to live, not going to the temple to pray, but live as the temple, to live as the house of God. Think about it. God has all wisdom, so he knows if the Father is thinking, I want a house to dwell in. I want a house for, I've created the heavens and the earth, Isaiah 66. Where then is a house for me? He says, but to this one I will look, to him who is humble and contrite of spirit and who trembles at my word. He looks for people. He has all wisdom. He knows what's best. He has all power. He can accomplish what's best. And he has all love. He desires what's best for you. He wants relationship. He doesn't want to just save you so that one day you'll go to heaven. He wants ongoing, abiding, unbroken fellowship with him. Where the Holy Spirit isn't just in you, but the Holy Spirit rests upon you to empower you to live out what the law demanded, which was righteousness. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Righteousness means relationship. It means right standing. And you and I, we should not live constantly condemned. We should live with an awareness that I live in right standing with my Father, because I'm covered in the blood of Jesus. And when the Father sees me, he doesn't see my mess. He sees the perfect life that Jesus lived. So I can run with boldness to him, to consecrate myself to him. But then, as Isaiah, he's seared. Woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips. He's looking at the glory of Jesus. 700 years before Jesus came, he's looking at the throne of Jesus. He's undone. And he's seared with that coal from the altar, and it's declared, your sins are forgiven. Forever, forgotten, washed away. And then he's empowered to say, the Lord says, I've got purposes and dreams in my heart. Who wants in? Who will go for us? The Trinity, the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Who will go? It was a setup, and Isaiah's right there. He's no longer conscious of the sin and the junk in his life. He's now aware that has been dealt with by God himself. And he can look at God without feeling like he has to hide. And am I really in the game? And God, can you really use me? In fact, he's not even thinking about God using me. He's thinking about, he loves me. I'm his. He's mine. And God says, who will go for us? And Isaiah says, I'm in. Send me. And so it is with us. God wants to rip off our lives, rip out of our lives the claws of the accusations that come night and day from the enemy that keep us from living a life consecrated to God, where we still go back to the law and think, I've got to make myself better. I've got to try harder. No, forget all that. Just yield. Holy Spirit, just like Jesus, would you rest and remain upon me? Would you empower me to live out what righteousness demands? So we live consecrated to God. And we, second point, under the second point of fasting for personal breakthrough, I was telling you about my early years in college and just attempting to fast. And it was so weak. It was like miserable. You know, one day, okay, I'm going to drink water, and I think I said I'm going to drink some juice just so I don't die. I've got class. I've got to study. And I remember I made it through till the next morning, and it was just this holy moment. It wasn't like, look, Lord, what I did for you. But as I began to give myself to seeking the Lord through prayer and through fasting, what I saw was stuff broken off my life that I couldn't try hard enough to get out of my life. God began to rewire me into, he began to renew how I thought. He began to break off all of the props and all of the growing up in the church and trying to look good for people. He just took it away. He rewired me from the inside out in his presence. Through the grace of prayer and fasting. He'll do it without fasting, but fasting just speeds it up and adds a whole lot of power. It really does. There was a student who is now the wife of the pastor of our sending church, Jimmy Seibert, in Waco, Texas. And when they were in college, she had grown up in Houston, Texas, and God was just stirring a fresh hunger in her heart for the Lord. And she freely shares her testimony. And she said in those days that she really struggled with this need to feel liked, this need to feel beautiful. And it led to anorexia in her life. It led to an eating disorder that got worse and worse and worse and was destroying her. It was destroying her life. That's what sin does. Starts out as a cute little lion cub, and it grows into this lion that wants to devour us. And at any point along the journey, you say, Jesus, come, forgive me, deliver me, I need you. And she began in this journey of just battling through that, and Jimmy and Laura were dating at the time, and he's praying for her, and he feels like, he says, God, we need a breakthrough. We need a breakthrough for her life. She's still bound by this lie that's causing this destructive behavior, and she doesn't even know it. And the Lord speaks to him and says, I want you to fast for her. And then he said, and I want you to invite her in on the fast. And he's thinking, what? Of course she's going to want that. You're telling me to ask a girl who struggles with anorexia to not eat. He said, we don't fight flesh and blood. We fight spiritual realm, principalities, the demonic realm. So he invites her. He says, look, this is what I feel like the Lord said. And he went through some scriptures on fasting for personal breakthrough and freedom in areas of habitual sin where trying harder will never work. And they took, I don't remember if it was a day or a couple days. I think it might have been another 3-day fast. And they just said, let's consecrate this as holy. Whatever mixed motives are in your heart, just give that to the Lord. And it was at that in that fast that the Lord met her in such a powerful way and stamped her with the love of God that set her free from that habitual lie that she's not good enough, not beautiful enough, doesn't match up, that caused her to live under the claws of this demonic thing in her life that was destroying her life. And she got set free. Jesus came and delivered her. Jesus came and set her free. And she's just rejoicing in this. She's helped hundreds of girls, hundreds, get free. You know, the very thing that the Lord sets you free from, you'll have authority to go and see others set free. Spiritual fasting, not only is it an act of consecration to the Lord, not only is it is a place for personal breakthrough and freedom, but lastly, fasting brings corporate breakthrough and corporate freedom. Whether it is on behalf of a church or whether it's on behalf of a city or whether it's on behalf of a nation or a generation. I'm so excited that this next week there's going to be hundreds of thousands of people gathering together in Washington, D.C. to cry out to God through prayer and fasting to say, God, you are our only hope. You are our only hope. We turn to you in Joel chapter 2. There's a crisis in the land. And the Lord speaks to the prophet. There is judgment coming and there is an hour of darkness. It looks bleak. There's no hope for the people of God. And God speaks to the prophet Joel. And he says, call a fast. And I want to read that together. You've got the slide. Joel chapter 1 and verse 14. And he says, consecrate a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the elders and the inhabitants of the land to the house of the Lord your God and cry out to the Lord. Call a fast. Consecrate a fast. A solemn assembly. And cry out to the Lord. And then in verse 12 of chapter 2, it says this. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and with mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. God doesn't want outward sacrifice. He wants the inward sacrifice of your heart as living sacrifices. And he says, return to me, to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, abounding in love, steadfast love, and he relents over disaster. They call upon the Lord. They call a fast. And then the Lord breaks through corporately, nationwide. And he declares of the Lord's deliverance. And it says, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And then he talks about the Lord pouring out his spirit on all flesh. In the hour of darkness, in the hour of crisis, is not the time to put in your 60 hours at work and just feel like you deserve a break so you watch TV for another two. It is time to wake up and say, I want to be in the game. God, you've invited me. You've invited us as the change agent on behalf of our nation. Not protesting earthly governments, but protesting the government of heaven, appealing to the government of heaven, appealing to the King who is over all kings and saying, King of glory, all government is yours. King of glory, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Our nation is yours. God, we're asking for a breakthrough. We're asking for a turning. Heaven and hell are in the balance. We walk by people every day who are going to hell and they need Jesus. They need a church that will rise up and appeal to the court of heaven for mercy, for his loving kindness to lead to repentance on a nationwide level. And it is an invitation into your destiny as history makers. You know, you have the seed of your Father in you. You're going to look just like Jesus. Jesus looks just like his Father. And before it's all done, Romans 8:29, your calling is that you would be conformed to the image of Jesus. His DNA, his very seed is within you. But not only that, he's given you his authority. He's given you his authority. His authority is in you. And it's time to not passively be ignorant of it, but to step into it. To step into it, appeal the court of heaven, and say, God, turn our nation back to the Lord. God, begin with the household of God. Wash over your bride. Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Cleanse us, God, from addictions. God, cleanse us from our own ways and our own wanderings from your heart. I tell you, the scripture and history is full of amazing stories. 2 Chronicles chapter 20. You've got the king of Judah, and you've got the enemies of God. The Moabites, the Ammonites, are coming against King Jehoshaphat. And he was terrified. He was filled with fear. So what does he do? What do you do in the hour of crisis? Nationwide crisis. They have got no chance against this vast army. Do we sit there and say, oh, well, there's no hope. Just wait till I hold on and get to heaven. No! He calls a fast. He says, it's time to seek the Lord. He turned his attention to seek the Lord. And he proclaimed a fast throughout Judah. And the Spirit of the Lord God came upon a man. And the Lord speaks and says, do not be afraid or dismayed because of this great multitude. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Do not be afraid against what you see in the natural that feels and seems obvious, an obvious destruction, obvious loss, obvious no hope. The Lord says, see from the eyes of heaven, for I will fight for you. And the Lord commanded them to actually go out and confront the armies of God, not with the weapons of human warfare, but the worship. The Levites went out first. The Lord said, watch, and I will fight on your behalf. You submit your heart to the Lord. Throw in a little fasting to position your heart, not to earn God's favor, but to position your heart and to subject your earthly appetites for a greater appetite for Him as a consecration to Him. And whether you're crying out for personal breakthrough or someone in your family or whatever it would be, somebody dying of a disease or a prodigal daughter or son, whatever the case would be, it is time to appeal the court of heaven. And they sent the Levites to worship, and it was a mighty deliverance because the Lord brought confusion on the enemy, and they turned and they destroyed one another, and the people of God woke up the next morning, didn't have to do a thing. They trusted in God. They looked to Him. They worshiped Him, and the Lord said, I will fight for you. God brought a mighty deliverance. You've read the book of Esther. Who loves Esther? What a woman of God. And God is raising up a generation of Esthers again. Women, just all the ladies, stand up real quick. I want to honor you. We want to say that in this house, you are honored. That you are honored as daughters of the Most High God. And we need what you have. Put your hand on your heart. Lord, we honor the women in this house. God, I thank you, Lord Jesus, that your smile is over them. I thank you that they are empowered fully, God, to do all that you've commanded them to do. Thank you, God, for these bright and shining lamps, God, in a dark generation, God, that are going to bring healing and hope to those around them. Father, we bless them. We pray that we as men would serve them and honor them, and that we would, Lord, get behind them, that they would fulfill, Lord, the dreams in their heart and all that you've written of them. Lord, would you be a covering? Would you be their grace? God, I pray for every need in this room. Lord, for provision, I ask God for everything that they're believing for breakthroughs in relationships and just everything that they're carrying. Lord Jesus, you said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light, so come to me. And so, God, we lift up their hands and we ask, God, that you would strengthen them by your might, the might of the Lord. God, you would raise up a generation of Esthers again. And I pray that the Spirit of the Lord, it would be not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. It would be by the Spirit of the living God. So, Holy Spirit, come. And I pray just for a fresh fire of God. I pray for a fresh strengthening, Lord God, that you'd break off lies of what culture and those around them or others have said of them. You would remove those lies. God, there are no limits in God. That they would run, Lord, and not grow weary. They would mount up with wings like eagles. And we bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. God's raising up Esthers. And this is the 72 hours in Scripture that changed history. Just hang with me for a little bit. I'm almost done. 72 hours that changed history. There was the king, and there was this evil conspiracy by a man named Haman, who was in the was one of the king's advisor. And over a fence, he plotted to kill all the Jews. Esther, a Jewish woman, hears of it. And this amazing woman of God gets the wisdom of the Lord, and she acts in obedience. Courageously. She hears the word of the Lord, and she acts courageously. And she calls a three-day fast. She said, I want all of my people fast for me for 3 days. At the end of the 3 days, I'm going to go into the king's chambers. It is illegal. It is punishable by death. But who knows? Maybe I've been raised up for such a time as this. I go. Let's fast. Let's put it in the hands of the Lord. And if I die, I die. She goes. The king receives her in. She shares the plot. And the plans of the enemy end up turning on him. And it was Haman that ended up being destroyed in the end. And there was this, in 72 hours, through this weak thing called fasting and appealing to the king, history was changed. Church, it's time again that we tap into this grace called fasting, not out of legalism, but as our authority of priests, and that we go into the court, the chambers of heaven, before the judge of all the earth, before the king of all the universe, and appeal on behalf of our nation and on behalf of his church, that we would change history. There's so much more if you read through it. But I'll leave it at that. Real quickly, I just want to motivate you. Lastly, the benefits of fasting. I want to read through Isaiah 58. Verse 6, all right, let's just read through this real quick, and then we're going to wrap up. The band, you guys can come on up and begin to play. But just read this with me, okay? So we fast for consecrating ourselves to the Lord. If you know there's compromise in your life, you don't need to fast, but all you need to do is repent. You can repent in 2 seconds and be right with God. But if you're sensing the Lord saying, I'm inviting you into a time of fasting. Well, it might be one meal, it might be one day, it might be 3 days, might be a week, might be 21 days, might be 40. Oh, he's so worth it. We don't do anything to earn his love and his favor. We just position ourselves to say, God, number one, I consecrate myself to you. Number two, God, I receive this invitation into fasting for personal breakthrough, or for a personal breakthrough of someone around me. And then thirdly, Lord, the much bigger picture of heaven, for nationwide breakthrough and freedom, for a generation not to be addicted to pornography, not to be just numbed with the world, but to be set free to worship King Jesus. That we would stand in the gap, even in our own journey of getting free, and say, Jesus, you're enough. You are heaven's answer. There is no other answer. There is no plan B. It's Christ through the church that's the hope of the world. Anything apart from that will perish. And the Lord gives this promise. He says, is this not a fast that I've chosen to loosen the bonds of wickedness? This is God's chosen fast for freedom. To undo the straps of the yoke and let the oppressed go free and to break every yoke. Is this not to share your bread with the hungry and to bring the homeless poor into your house, and when you see the naked, to cover him, not to hide yourself from your own flesh? Verse 8, here's your promise. Then your light will break forth like the dawn, and your healing will speedily spring forth. Your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your rear guard. Verse 9, you will call and the Lord will answer you. You will cry and he will say, here am I. If you take away the yoke from your midst, the pointing of the finger, the speaking of wickedness. If you pour yourself out for the hungry, satisfy the desire of the afflicted. Then shall your light rise in the darkness and your gloom be as the noonday. The Lord will guide you. He will satisfy your desire. He will satisfy you. Satisfy your desire in scorched places and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. Whose waters do not fail. Would you stand with me? And we're going to pray together. I want to ask the ushers to come forward as our response to the Lord. A couple things. We're going to take communion as our response together. Jesus said, as often as you do this in remembrance of me. We are individually and corporately consecrating ourselves to the Lord. And we're saying, Jesus, it's by your blood, but I come before you. No matter what the last 2 days, the last 2 years, 20 years has looked like, I come before you now and I say I belong to you. We're consecrating ourselves. And then over the next 3 days, we're inviting you to participate in some way, to fast for personal breakthrough, for personal consecration, for personal breakthrough, but especially for the turning of our nation back to the Lord. Ending on Wednesday night with a prayer rally. But every time you see this band, I want to encourage you, as often as you wear it, wherever you go, remember this verse. Because every time you pray it to the Lord, and you remind Him of the ifs, He will remember the thens, and He will pour out His Spirit with healing, with forgiveness, and with restoration. Restoration of your own soul, restoration of your family, restoration of relationships, restoration of our nation, where Jesus is at the head. And Jesus is rightly honored. I want you to just take a moment. And if you feel comfortable, put your hand on your heart. I'm going to lead us in a prayer before we take communion. Just say this after me. Say, Jesus, I give everything to you. Take my life. Take it all. I consecrate myself as a living sacrifice to you, Jesus, as my offering. You gave your life for me. So, Lord, I give all to you. Just take a moment and just ask the Lord to search your heart. Just ask Him to search your heart. You go ahead, you can maybe seated if you'd like. You can stand, stay seated, whatever you want to do. But just continue to take a moment before the Lord and just say, Lord, search me. You don't need to go looking for stuff. And the Lord wants to train us to discern what is the condemnation from the enemy that you've already repented of and what is the clean, loving, gentle conviction of the Lord. Just take a moment, close your eyes and say, Lord, what are you speaking to me? And then respond to Him before we take communion together. We do this as a remembrance that we live under a covenant of grace, the new covenant. By His stripes we're healed. He tramples underfoot our iniquities. He casts them into the sea and remembers them no more. As far as the east is from the west, so far as He removed our sins from us. Lord, I thank You that You break guilt, shame, condemnation, fear. Thank You that You crush addiction, God. That You crush depression. God, tormenting dreams at night. God, come and crush it, God. Set your people free. Set us free, Lord.